Hello and welcome to the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency podcast. Today we're taking a look at the story behind the headlines, the detention of five cruise ships after serious concerns were raised about crew welfare. We've brought together three of the team involved in bringing that about. Katie Ware, Director of Maritime Safety and Standards for the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency. She's also the UK's permanent representative to the International Maritime Organisation. Tony Heslop, Assistant Director, Survey and Inspection for the South of the UK. And finally, Simon Graves, who's the Assistant Director, Technical Performance. As with many stories, it all started with a phone call. Katie Ware takes up the story.
We were contacted by the legal director at the International Maritime Organisation, who had had concerns raised to them by colleagues at the Indonesian embassy about the welfare of Indonesian crew members on the global cruise line vessels. We were quite concerned by this, and we were mindful that there'd been the attempted suicide on the Vasco da Gama earlier in May. So the following day, the IMO called the flag states of the vessels, Bahamas and Portugal, along with the UK as the port state responsible for the vessels. The Indonesian embassy was attending, as was the International Labour Organization and the ITF. It was quite a substantial meeting where various concerns were raised by the Indonesian embassy about the welfare of the crew, particularly that the company had failed to do anything to repatriate the crew and that wages were unpaid.
Katie met with her team to decide what to do next. Remember, of course, that much of the UK was still in lockdown and there were challenges for the MCA. Tony Heslop and Simon Graves discussed some of those.
Well, obviously, at the time, we had our teams in lockdown. With this one, it was a level of seriousness that we had to consider sending our people out in the middle of a pandemic, obviously with all the appropriate risk assessments in place, as much protection for our people in place. But it, yeah, you're right, it was pretty momentous. It was, it's that balance between, you know what you have to do and doing the right thing and trying to protect your people as well.
This has been escalating for a while. We'd been hearing rumblings of issues with these vessels through the Merchant Navy Welfare Board and the local seafarer support services, specifically at Tilbury. And the decision, once it's made, I think is actually quite an easy one when you recognise the responsibility we have as an agency to take action on these matters when they reach that level of seriousness, where we can't leave it to the companies to deal with or the flag states to deal with, that we have this overarching responsibility to go and find out for ourselves and make sure that the protections are in place for the seafarers.
Of course, you can talk about legislation, regulation, port state control and process. But ultimately, all this came down to one thing and one thing only: people.
It was ultimately about people. And when the guys got on board, it became apparent that there was no evidence that the company had done anything to repatriate the crew. The seafarers' employment agreements, there was multiple expired, and there were serious concerns about payment of wages. There was no cash on board, and they were clearly not getting their weekly and monthly allowances that they're entitled to. So ultimately, we had to do what was right for those guys. And, you know, there was a lot of praise in the press, but there was also some criticism of, well, what's the point of detaining them? They weren't going anywhere in the first place. However, the intervention is that the company has to repatriate those crew, and a large amount of those crew have now gone home. And we've further had ITF inspections that have gone on board, and we're satisfied that they've been paid. And there's been clauses put in place to make sure that, you know, that they do get paid.
We need to facilitate the travel of seafarers. We need to get seafarers from A to B to get onto the ships, get off the ships, get home. Without seafarers, nothing moves in the world. And if you look at the amount of trade that we need to happen around the world to keep the economies moving, to keep the world moving, it all revolves around seafarers as being the central point of that. So I think as governments, we have an obligation to look after these guys. And you know, the UK has led the field in making sure that we are an open country for the repatriation of seafarers, to keep ships and keep seafarers moving.
We didn't set out to make a statement. We set out to do what was right. We had serious concerns about these vessels. We had serious concerns about the welfare of the seafarers on board. And we had a duty of care. It just so happened that the UK was the first, just like the UK was the first to designate seafarers as key workers, just like the UK was the first to do mass repatriations and to facilitate it through colleagues at the DfT.
It's not so much about trying to make a statement. It's about doing the right thing. What we did made a statement, but the intention's not to go there. It's to do what is right. It's rippled around the industry, and all well and good, because people, you know, people should look after the seafarers. It's non-negotiable.
You've been listening to the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency podcast. It was produced and presented by Heather Skull.